one to surrender easily. Maybe you're not going to wave your white flag anytime soon. Well, welcome to the Parable Podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Zapchank, and right now you are going to meet CEO of Just One International and Kids Ministry Director, Maddie Trinick, and what surrender looked like in her life.
The hardest part for me is to leave room for God to work in my day. If I really want Him to take control, it might mean that He's moving me in a different direction than planned. And that's really hard to accept because I like to plan. I like to have control. I like to be in control. I have to ask myself, am I okay, God, if you're going to do something different than I want today? Yeah. Or am I okay with Him changing my schedule, my dreams even? I might be on this direction and He's like, I want something different. Yeah. Am I okay with that?
Here's my conversation with Maddie Trinick. Well, Maddie, welcome to the Parable Podcast. I'm so excited to meet you. We are connected through Junior. Is he technically your boss?
He is technically my boss. He's my boss thing. All of my bosses at some level.
Yeah. So Junior, he used to be my intern. He was on a previous episode. He gave me a list of people. And for you, he's just like, you are one of the most caring people that he knows. Aww. That's how he described you. It's always funny to like hear other people talk about us when we're like not in the room or not on the email. You're like, oh, okay. Thank you. But I'd love for you to describe a little bit about who you are, what you do day to day.
Yeah. It's so funny to hear Junior talk about me that way because he's really the one that gave me my start and helped kind of kickstart my career in ministry and launch everything. So it's really excited for him to connect us, and he speaks so highly of you. So it was very fun to be on here. But I work at the Bridge Community Church with Junior. He's technically my boss. And I work in the children's ministry department. So I run all the kids ministries for all three locations. It's such a fun job. Mm-hmm. I also run a nonprofit, Just One International, which works to serve kids in Honduras. We are looking to break cycles of poverty through education and God's love. That's kind of our 22nd what we do at Just One.
That's a huge cause, right? We're going to definitely talk a little bit more about Just One International. But I'd love for you, you know, you said you're in kids ministry. Did you know Jesus when you were a young kid, or is that something that came later in your life?
So I grew up in an interesting home environment. My dad is Jewish and my mom was Christian. And so we did Hanukkah and Christmas, Easter, Passover, all of that. But I grew up in a church in Wisconsin, a Christian church, Junior's dad's church. And so I got saved at VBS when I was 6, but I wouldn't say that my faith became my own until I was in my teenage years. I went through definitely searching time of, you know, who is God to me and what do I believe? And I came out of that really fully on fire for God. And part of my passion from Honduras comes from Him showing me who He is in Honduras. And so I have that dual connection. I love the kids. I love what I do in Honduras, but I also love thinking back to what God did in my life in that country and drawing me to Him.
Manny, tell me a little bit about what it was like having parents. I think a lot of us, whether even we come from a home that has both similar religion, faith ideas, there are a lot of families that do have opposite. The mom believes one way, the father believes another way. What was that dynamic like between your parents?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because I think a lot of families experience that, but it's rarely talked about. What was really interesting about my family is that my dad was definitely searching to figure out who God was to him and what he believed about the Messiah. Junior and his dad played a huge role in that. My dad recently came to faith about 5 years ago. So now our family all believes the same, which is really exciting. But growing up, it was an interesting dynamic. I think it allowed for my siblings and I to really figure out who God was for us. Mm-hmm. And it opened a lot of questions. There was not this, you have to believe this because it's what we believe in my family, because my dad didn't believe in Jesus and the Messiah. And so my mom was constantly having discussions with us about Jesus's life, his ministry, what he did, what he means to us now. I think all of my siblings and I read The Case for Christ when we were in our teenage years. And it was a really beautiful dynamic of you can question and you can mm-hmm. ask questions. And it wasn't this forced thing in our lives. Mm-hmm. And because of my mom's example and her willingness to open and share her faith, all my siblings and now my dad have an even stronger faith and a deeper meaning for what it means to follow Jesus.
Maddie, that's so beautiful because there have been a couple friends of mine whose parents just have difference of beliefs, and you just don't know like when that time is for somebody, if it is ever going to happen, and having that patience, but still that respect and love for everyone.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad that that was built into your childhood I'm sure it was just, you know, a lot as a kid trying to figure and navigate through that. I'd love to know for you, like, I know you're married to your husband, Denham. What was that like as you think about marriage when you guys were first getting married? Like, you had this played out in your childhood. How important was that when you chose to marry him?
Yeah, what's beautiful about the Jewish faith is that being Jewish makes my faith so much stronger. Mm-hmm. I think there's a fallacy in the Jewish community that once you become a Christian, you're not Jewish, which Jesus was for the Jewish people. And so what's really fun is playing it out in my family now. Our faith is so much deeper and has a lot more meaning, which is really exciting. My husband has an interesting background. He grew up Muslim. So when everyone looks at our family, they're like, you are a hodgepodge of everything. A Jewish, Spanish-speaking Christian with a Muslim Croatian-speaking man. So it's really fun to play all of that out. He doesn't follow any of the Muslim traditions anymore, obviously. He's a Christian and campus pastor at The Bridge. But we do Passover and Easter, and we do Hanukkah, and we do Christmas. And it just has this really deep meaning for all of us. And it's been exciting to see my family grow in that way as well, to experience all of it to the deepest meaning now that my dad is a believer.
What is something about the Jewish faith that has really like connected to your core? Because there are certain traditions and holidays or even things that are just different from the Christian faith that really help you draw closer to God in your own personal faith life.
Absolutely. And I can attribute a lot of this to Junior. Junior's teaching is so biblical, and he points out how Jesus was Jewish, and this was part of his life and his faith. And so now when I read the Bible and I see these traditions and these holidays, it's amazing for me to think about. Those holidays have so much more meaning because I know they were celebrated with a purpose and they were celebrated by the Jewish people. So I love reading my Bible with that Jewish lens and thinking when you grow up, you know, holidays are just tradition. But now growing up, you see them in the Bible and you see the meanings and you experience them more. And that's been really exciting and fun.
Maddie, tell me a little bit, if you had to choose like a perfect day of like what you would do, just if you had the full day open to you, the sky was the limit, what would you find yourself doing?
You're going to say I'm so boring, but that's okay. You can judge me for this one. My husband and I love to go to the bookstore and get a new book and then sit together in our backyard and read. It sounds so boring. And maybe it sounds like we're 80-year-old couple, but we love doing that. We rarely have time to just be together and be quiet. And so reading outside together is the ideal moment for us.
Okay. Well, what's your favorite genre or style of book that you like to read?
I read anything. My husband is very strict. He likes mysteries. He likes biographies. He's very into history, but I will read anything.
Well, I think that's just so cool because I think what is beautiful about that is even though, yes, you're quiet in your backyard, it is really about a story. It's about, you know, how you are engaged into it. And either you can immerse yourself in it or you're just like learning, you're empathizing and understanding different contexts and different situations. So I think that's the beautiful thing about stories. And so, Maddie, that's what the whole parable podcast is about. And I'd love for you to share one of your parable stories today with us.
Do you ever look back on a situation in your life and realize, wow, I did that the hard way. Things could have been a lot easier. Has that ever happened to you, Daniel?
Absolutely. All the time.
Well, my first year living in Honduras as a missionary, I had this dream of living like the people did in Honduras, of living the way that they do. And so I was not going to have a hot shower ever. I was going to wash all my laundry using a pila, which is the Honduran version of a washboard and water basin. I was going to eat rice and beans every day. I had this dream that I was going to be like the Honduran people. And it was beautiful and idealistic, but that's what I thought. I thought I was going to do it. I was going to immerse myself in the culture. But this also meant that I was going to carry my drinking water from the local corner store to my house every week. This is something Honduran people do with ease. If you have families that can afford water, they buy it in these like large 5-gallon jugs and haul it over their shoulders on their way home. You see people all the time walking down the road with these jugs slung over their shoulders. Running water is very scarce in Honduras and tap water isn't drinkable. And so it's a norm for people to carry their water home. These jugs, they weigh about 42 pounds, just to give you a little context. And I didn't know this when I embarked on my first journey to buy water. Everyone made it look so easy, and I didn't think that they weighed that much. So on my first trip to the convenience store, I, you know, made the 10-minute dusty walk down the dirt road And without getting lost, I was very proud of myself. I pay for my water using limpiadas, which is the Honduran money. And I'm pretty sure the guy realized that I had no idea how to speak Spanish or use limpiadas. Because have you ever had that exchange with a different currency where you give them a couple dollar bills and then they give you change back and then you give them change? That's kind of what happened. I had no idea how much I paid for this water. And I was confident, though. I was going to use limpiadas. I was very confident. So he hands me the water jug, and I go to sling it over my shoulder, just like all the other people that I see doing, and I couldn't even get it off the ground.
Oh, no.
I couldn't lift it even an inch. The convenience store owner looks at me and just smiles and asks if I need help, and I just smile and wave and go, oh, estoy bien. I'm okay. I'm okay. And I knew I got that Spanish right because then he walked away. So with a 10-minute walk in front of me and a 42-pound water jug at my feet, I felt so far from home. Hmm. Instead of accepting the gracious offer for help, I start pushing the water jug down the dirt road. If you've ever been camping or off-roading, dirt roads are definitely not smooth. Every divot in the road made my water jug fall. It was horrible. People passing by were looking at me like I was a crazy white girl. It took me an hour to get home. 10-minute walk there, an hour to get home. I'm covered in dirt. The water jug looks black because there's dirt all over it. I'm sweaty, exhausted, defeated. But I tell myself, I don't need help. I can do this. I'm going to be Honduran. So for the next couple of weeks, I keep pushing my water jugs home. I keep pushing them down that dirt road. I finally get enough strength and I can pick it up for a couple steps and then I drop it down, push it, pick it up for a couple steps, drop it down, push it. That was my rhythm. Now, my friends and coworkers heard that I was doing this and kept offering for help, begging to help me. I'm sure it was because they were embarrassed of their crazy water pushing friend down the road. But I kept telling them, no, I'm going to do it. This was part of my missionary experience. I could do it on my own. I'm not going to give up. About my 10th time of picking up water, I'm only a couple pushes away from my house, and I decide I can't lift or carry it the rest of the way. I just can't go anymore. And so I finally, I'm just like, I'm going to pick it up, and I'm going to run to the house. So I pick up my water jug and walk as fast as I can. It kind of is like a shuffle at this point. And because my hands were slippery with sweat, I dropped the water jug on my foot. 42 pounds of water fall directly on my foot. Of course, I was wearing sandals, and my foot swells up instantly and turns purple.
Oh, no.
Anytime I tried to take a step, there was searing pain. I broke my foot. I had no choice but to take the help my friends offered at this point. They took me to a man in the community that reset my foot. They had to pick up water for me the next couple of weeks. They helped me at the bus stop. They helped me get to work. I needed help for everything, all because I was too stubborn and wanted to do things the hard way. But it got me thinking, how many of us are that way? We're pushing our water jugs through life, struggling to take 10 more steps on the dirt roads that we're on. Maybe we're struggling to get through the day of parenting. Just one more day, one more push, hoping our kids won't make you snap. Or maybe we're struggling with peace in our marriage, just thinking, if I can push through this next fight, maybe I won't get into an argument for the couple more days. One more push. Maybe if I have one good meeting at work, I'll just do one more all-nighter and work late, then my boss will notice me. Hmm. Like my friends, God is saying to us, I'm right here. You don't have to do this alone. I'll carry your water jug for you. I'll help you. You don't have to do things the hard way. But it takes us being willing to surrender, willing to let God take control of our lives. Surrender can be a huge barrier to our walk with God. It was for my life. I spent so much of my life trying to do things my own way, thinking I didn't need his help, pushing through every day on my own strength. And it's exhausting. I think surrender is a funny Christian word. It seems abstract. People say, let go and let God. But what does that really mean? How do you give God control when you feel like you're fighting just to make it one more day? Mm. For me, it's praying every day with open hands. I think when I'm having trouble to surrender, I have a hard time physically opening my hands towards God, saying, God, you have control of my day today. You know, I struggle with that. And also setting aside consistent daily time with God. I know that seems like such a churchy thing, but when I'm not connected with God daily, I know I'm having trouble surrendering. Mm-hmm. And being flexible and making room for the Holy Spirit is huge as well. Are you okay if God changes your plans for the day? Or is it just one more step I'm going to push through on my own? Mm-hmm. Do you want him to lead, or do you want him to just make you feel better for that day, to make through one more steps? So that's kind of what God taught me through a 5-gallon water jug falling on my foot.
Oh my gosh, Maddie, that is just like, it resonates so much with me. Just the idea of, yes, it is a simple story, but gosh, how that applies to each one of us. It's so good. Thank you for sharing that. I'd love to know, how did you end up in Honduras?
So that's another good surrender story of me struggling to surrender. Like I shared earlier, I got saved in my teenage years. But when I moved into college, I was definitely living the Christian life on Sunday and then living for myself throughout the week. Yeah. And I was really struggling with following God with my whole heart. And I started translating for mission teams because I was studying Spanish. And I ended up in Honduras. I kept ending up in Honduras, ending up in Honduras, which is not coincidence. It's the Lord working. And my last trip to Honduras translating, I ended up in the community that I lived in for 4 years. And I met the people there and I got connected with an organization. And I felt the Lord say, are you ready to live fully for me? Are you done with this fight of half in, half out, struggling through life? Or are you fully surrendered to me? And in that moment, I was like, okay, I'm in. I'm all in. And so that's when I moved to Honduras. I moved to Honduras a month later after that and stayed there for 4.5 years.
Wow.
And served in that community and still am connected today.
So did you get your water jug every day for 4.5 years?
I accepted a lot of help. Eventually, my friend who had a pickup truck put a couple in every so often and delivered them to me.
Smart. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. I love it. What came up to me, what I was thinking of, is when you were sharing that, I kept picturing the woman at the well when Jesus is just like, your water is, you know, useless compared to the living water that I can give you. And, you know, it's like, absolutely, obviously you needed that water to live every day in Honduras. And even though you had a plan, you had a goal to live as all of the people in Honduras do, it is that struggle of surrender. That is a real challenge.
I love that analogy too, because water is so refreshing. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to explain to people how refreshing surrender can feel until you actually like opened up your hands and let go and let God. There's this peace, this refreshing feeling that comes over you. That's like, I don't have to do this by myself. I don't have to struggle every day.
Now, did you have that idea of surrender once you needed help? Or did that come later? You're just like realizing, I just have to like let go.
That is a really great question, because I wish I could tell you I live my life daily surrender. I wake up feeling that. But I think it's in those moments where we are struggling that we realize, maybe I'm having a heart issue here. Maybe there's something deeper going on that God's trying to show me, hey, you are not in control. And I think that's part of the process of growing closer to the Lord. Sanctification is learning daily, can I be better? Can I be surrendering daily instead of struggling and then going to the Lord, struggling, going to the Lord, pushing that jug down the road instead of recognizing your need for him every day.
Yeah. And it's funny because you kept using the words like, I am going to be in Honduran. And like, I think that's what we do, is like, we put these like flags into the ground of like, I am going to do this. Even if we say like, I'm going to be a Christian, or if you're going to be Jewish, like whatever it is, like we hold that so tightly where that flag, that becomes our God of knowing that we can do this rather than surrendering. Why do you think that's so hard to do that?
That is a deep-rooted question. I think it probably could vary for a lot of different people. For me in my life, surrender is hard because I like being in control. I like that control feeling because I think I'm managing everything. I heard a comedian once say that women like to say, I've been running around all day. And that's so me. I love being busy and being in control and getting everything done. And I don't like thinking that I can't do something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But the Bible is filled with verses and filled with people that can't do it and they depend on the Lord, and it's far better that they do.
Yeah.
And I'm way better to follow that example than just fight through every day trying to do it on my own.
I love saying that I'm busy. I love the feeling of it. I think that's a part of like who I am, but yeah, it does make you think of like, why? Like, what is that deep-rooted meaning behind that? That's really good to think about. You did give some really like practical things in here about like how to surrender when you're trying to do your things your own way, like just praying with open hands, being flexible. Which one of those comes the most challenging, like the most difficult for you?
It was really interesting for me to think about that, because the physical posture of prayer really shows myself where my heart is at. If I have a hard time, if I'm praying and my hands are not open to the Lord, that physical posture means something for me. If I have a trouble opening my hands, or like, that's stupid, I'm not going to open my hands today, there's clearly something going on in my heart that I can't raise my hands to the Lord and say, I need you today. I need you now. So that physical posture is huge for me, but being flexible as well, that takes surrender. The hardest part for me is to leave room for God to work in my day. If I really want him to take control, it might mean that he's moving me in a different direction than planned. And that's really hard to accept because I like to plan. I like to have control. I like to be in control. I have to ask myself, am I okay, God, if you're going to do something different than I want today or I plan? Yeah. Or am I okay with him changing my schedule, my dreams even? I might be on this direction and he's like, I want something different. Am I okay with that? Yeah. That's probably the hardest part for me to wrestle with, but recognizing those postures and opening my hands and spending time with him consistently changes my morning and changes my outlook. Now, some times I need to do that 3 times a day, 4 times a day to keep reminding my heart of that surrender, but it has to start there.
That's so good. Well, tell me a little bit about Just One International. How long have you been with that organization? Is that something that you connected with them when you were in Honduras or afterward?
Yeah, so we founded Just One International in 2019, and we started with a class of 19 students. When we founded Just One, Junior had invited me to come back to the Bridge to learn about healthy ministry. So this was the first time I was running with a ministry on my own, and he was gracious enough to help let me learn at the Bridge. And so when I came back to the United States in 2019, the plan was to learn from the Bridge for 6 months and then go back to Honduras. On my first day of work, there was a very handsome youth pastor sitting at the front desk named Denim. And my plans drastically changed. And so everything shifted a little bit, but what's really exciting is the team in Honduras is running with everything there. And now I run everything from the stateside, but that's kind of the structure that we work with. And Denim and I work from here.
So you founded this, Maddie?
Yeah, we founded it. I founded it with a group of 3 people in Honduras.
Maddie, that is amazing. Now, okay, tell me then, was it just because of that 4 years of being on Honduras that something in your heart like switched over and changed? You're like, this needs to happen.
So I was teaching in Honduras and working as a principal at a school, and it was just an elementary school. It was going up to seventh grade. And what I realized is that kids are dropping out in sixth grade and going to work in the fields. So the dropout rate in Honduras is 60% of kids drop out of school in sixth grade. And then they go in the fields and work to make $2 a day, 10-hour days. And that's what their parents are making. So I started to see this cycle of poverty that existed. There was no way to break that cycle. There was no way to get out of it. And there was a group of students that in Spanish, it's called the consentidos, my consentidos, which means my favorites. They always tease that I'm their favorites. I don't have favorite students, but they like to pretend they were. But they were about to hit that seventh grade mark. And I started asking them, what are your dreams? What are your plans? What are you doing next? Are you going to keep going to school? And every single one of them was going to go work in the fields or try to immigrate illegally to the United States. And I thought, we got to do something. Yeah. This can't be their end. They're not going to go work in the fields for $2 a day. They all spoke amazing English. They were educated, smart, wonderful kids. So that was really the birth of it. And now what we're seeing is tremendous growth in families because kids are graduating from high school, even graduating from college and finding professional level careers, making way more than $2 a day and now supporting their families. My favorite story is I have a student named Mauricio and he is in college now and he is now supporting on his salary. He's in school full time and working full time. On his salary, he is supporting his entire family. And his family just adopted a little girl because they thought, well, we can do more to serve our community. And I just love seeing lives transformed by the Lord and through education. That's kind of the two veins that we see. In our programs, we're teaching kids about God every single day. It's a Christian-based organization.
Gosh, that is so beautiful. I'm so proud of you. That is just amazing to just like to know, Maddie, like where you were and you were lugging that water jar. And also just like you went from a place of translating like for mission organizations. And again, like we have no idea the path where God wants to take us. I'd love to know, was it your choice to go to Honduras or it just you felt like God kept pushing you there? And that's really what was happening. Like, again, you were just surrendering.
Absolutely. The surrender was huge in that. I did not have plans to be in Honduras. I was actually dating someone at the time where I was living in New Orleans. That wasn't good for me. It was not a great relationship. I was not living for the Lord. And I really felt God speak to me and say, you can do more and you can be all in for me. And it was that surrender of, okay, what do I want with my life? Do I want to fight? all the time? Do I want to live this dichotomy or do I want to live fully for the Lord? So Honduras definitely wasn't in the plans, but I'm so glad that God did that. I think throughout my life, I see these patterns of God graciously bringing me back to Him. Mm-hmm. Even though I stray, He's so consistent. And Honduras was another one of those opportunities where He said, I'm right here. You can have a better life. You can live for me. And mm-hmm. He gave me amazingly more than all I could ask or imagine through Honduras. I found a community that I love, students that I care deeply about, purpose through just one. I think mm-hmm. God is so gracious in giving us all those things once we surrender. And now it doesn't look easy every day. I think that's the error we can make in surrendering. We think that surrender comes with ease, but things can't be easy, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, of course. Of course. As much as we want things to be easy, I think that path that is more challenging, opportunities to grow and to fail, even though I hate that. Like that is where we get to be dependent and see Him and see where His plan was just so much better all along.
Absolutely.
I'd love to know, since 2019, when Just One International was founded, what have you learned most? I mean, because it's one thing to be a principal at a school and now to run a foundation with a group of other people and be like, how are we going to choose to make some impact here? What has been like one thing that has just been so awesome to watch, but also what has been like the challenge of like just the things that you've learned, like, wow, this is something that we need to be aware of?
The world portrays so much negative. Mm-hmm. On the news, social media, you see all the bad. And the thing I have seen by working with Just One is there are so many people in the world that want to do good.
Yeah,
we have an amazing support system that is raising up the next leaders in Honduras just by their giving, by their support, by their time, by their dedication. We have teams that come down and help our students. We have sponsors that support kids. And there are so many people that love the Lord and want to see the world succeed and see kids grow. And I don't think that's seen in the news. I don't think that's portrayed anywhere. I think we think the world is all going to crap, but there's people that want to do good and that are doing good. And that's the beauty of my job. I get to just connect people with this mission and they get to join in and fall in love with it and support the next generation of leaders in Honduras. So that's my favorite part. And the thing that I've learned most is how many people want to help and serve other people. So that's been really exciting to see. The challenging part about it is probably that I'm here. I love being in Honduras. Yeah. It's this weird, strange feeling that my heart's in two places. When I'm in Honduras, I miss my husband. I miss my church community. I miss being here. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm here, I miss Honduras. I miss the kids. I miss being with the kids every day. It's really hard to miss that. But the beauty is we have an amazing team in Honduras that I trust completely, that is doing wonderful things.
That's so awesome. You know, as I was just thinking about, again, like the water jug and being poured into, Maddie, who is it that somebody like over the course of your life has really poured into you to help you? I mean, I'm working on a message right now about like how our faith is, you know, we have foundations and there's different people and places and situations that we've been a part of that have shaped us. So I'd love to know, like now at 30 years old, like who are the people like that have shaped you and that have like championed you on to get to this point in your life? Obviously, God, you don't have to mention Him. He always deserves to be mentioned. But who is it for you that has championed you the most?
Yeah, so it may seem cliche, but I would have to say my parents have been huge supporters and champions. It's an interesting thing when you come to your parents and you say, I'm going to start a nonprofit. I have no money. I've been a missionary for 4 years, so I have nothing saved. I'm just going to do this. And I think a lot of parents would probably be like, what are you doing? You're throwing your life away. And my parents from day one were, if that's where you feel the Lord's calling you, do it. And then they actually went and met the kids and their heart for the children as well. My husband obviously champions Just One every single day and champions my ministry and my life. And that's an enormous blessing. I think also to your point about who are the people that pour into your faith and pour into your life. Mm-hmm. I have an amazing mentor here in Des Plaines. She weekly meets with me and calls out conviction in my life. And I think we all need those people that say, yeah, hey, I don't know if you're on the right path with that, or that didn't sound like you were being really loving, or, you know, you should probably go back and apologize to those people. Those hard conversations that we'd rather not have with people, but we all need someone that's willing to share truth and speak truth in your lives. And so I'm so thankful for her as well.
Maddie, that's so good. I think that's true. Like, we do need people in our life that help us point out convictions. And it's funny, again, I just keep going back to your parable, because it's like there were those friends that were like, hey, can we help you? You can't take help from everyone, but at some point, like, that is, it's kind of like just like a knock at the door, just saying like, hey, like, I see this in you. And not because they want to tear you down, but to truly build you up and cultivate something in your heart. So gosh, absolutely. Yeah, that's a really good point. Maddie, if people wanted to get connected to Just One International or to you, how can they do that?
Yeah, so you can follow us on social media. Just One International is on Instagram and Facebook. Our website's really easy. It's justoneinternational.com. I know you're going to put all the spellings in there, but it's very easy to connect with us and to hear about the work that God's doing in Honduras. There's also links on our Instagram to testimony videos of our students. And that's really fun to see as well.
Maddie, thank you so much for kind of bringing us through that story of, you know, lugging the water down the streets of Honduras. And I think we can all relate to that. I appreciate your time and just like your passion and your heart for people. So I'm grateful for you. Thank you so much for sharing today.
Thank you so much for having me on here. I honestly have thoroughly enjoyed the Parable podcast. Everyone has those 15 to 30 minutes every Monday morning where they're getting their desk ready, pouring their coffee. And I turn on the Parable podcast now since Junior turned me onto it. And it's, you get tidbits every single time I listen to you, Danielle, you and your guests. I get tidbits to help me live my day better. And so the work you're doing is so encouraging. And I love hearing people's stories. So I'm so excited about where you're going, where you're heading, and hearing more of your podcast.
Oh my gosh. Maddie, thank you so much. This is not a paid sponsorship in any way.
But it's true. I honestly turn it on every Monday morning for 30 minutes and I get something really good to live my week, and I love it.
It was such a joy to connect with Maddie today and hear not only her heart for the people of Honduras, but what God has taught her through the course of her life. To connect with Maddie and Just One International, simply visit DanielleZapchank.com for details. And here are two reflection questions from our time with Maddie. Number one, how is God calling you to surrender this week? Do you need to be more flexible, pray with open hands, or something else? Number two, journal about one person that has built into your faith, maybe positive or negative, and how God has used that for his good. One easy way you can support the Parable podcast is simply by sharing it with a friend. If you could pass this episode along today, that would really help people find out more about these amazing parable stories, just like Maddie said that she found out because she connected with Junior. And thanks to my technical producer of a husband for his top-notch editing skills. That is going to do it for today. I am so grateful that you chose to spend the time with me. Remember, your parable showcases how he is always there when you surrender. We'll see you back again next week on the Parable Podcast.